Well, good morning once again. Good morning. Well, I'm glad that you're with us this morning. Glad that you have chosen to worship with us this morning. If you are our guest, we are especially glad that you're here. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guests, and we'd love for you to fill that out and meet me out at the end of this service out in the foyer. I have a free gift for our guests. You don't have to fill that out, but would love to know you were here. If you don't, you know, don't want to meet me, I understand. And you can just leave it in the seat pocket. But I would like to meet you, and I hope that you will come and meet me, and I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. I wanted a couple of things. Billy reminded us of the all-church meeting immediately after the church. I want you to know, I promise my part will be about 5 minutes, but then I'll take questions. And so, you know, the length of the meeting will be determined by you. But we will be talking about some of the occurrences going on just in the last week or so within our denomination. We'll be talking about that. And I also wanted to tell you, I encourage you to get involved with a Sunday school class or a community group. We have some great Sunday school classes that meet at 9:30 on Sunday morning, and then Wednesday night we have some great community groups. One of them, Jim, where's Jim at? Jim Reinbolt teaches a class that meets in our conference room down there. Great guy, great teacher, great class. And they will be studying a book called Slaying the Giants in Your Life, David Jeremiah, and you can get in on the front end of that this coming Wednesday. We have a meal from 5 to 6, and it's $3, and it's the best $3 meal in the world. I'll just say it, Larry and Brenda, it's the best $3 meal in the world. Amen. Yeah. Our groups are from 6 to 7:30. So hope you feel welcome to come and be a part of that. If you will, turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Beginning in verse 28. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, Jesus answered, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's he's actually quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself, quoting from Leviticus 19. There is no commandment greater than these. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak. Speak in power and authority, which is the only way you speak. Give us ears to hear and change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to thank, we had, you know, it's awesome. We have like 5 or 6 retired pastors in our congregation, and Billy and a couple of others that have been in ministry. So it's awesome. I had Jim Reinbolt brought a word, great word 2 weeks ago. Billy, it was great. Wasn't it good to have Billy back in the pulpit last week? Yes, it was great. And I was asked last week as Billy was bringing the words, like, are you not working here anymore, somebody? So I'm back. I'm back in the pulpit. So this is kind of my New Year's sermon. And I want to talk about this. And, you know, one of the things that we do, most of us, around New Year's, what do? New Year's resolutions. New Year's resolutions. Some of the more common ones go something like this: to eat better, exercise, lose some weight, That tends to be, I would imagine those three are probably at the top of any list that we can, any survey that you could do. And those are fine. There's nothing wrong with those having those goals set in your life. But I want to ask you this. What if we made 2020 the year of others? What if our focus was not what can I do to better myself, which is that's a good focus and that we can do that too, but what if our true intention was to be a servant, make it about others? This today's message is the year of others, the year of others. This passage that that we just read has we know it as the great commandment, the great commandment. It's interesting. This little conversation is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's not recorded in John, but it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the interesting thing, I read the Mark version, which Jesus is asked the question and Jesus answers it. And in the Matthew and Luke version, Jesus asks the question, and this teacher of the law quotes these same accounts, and Jesus says, "Yes, that's right. Do that and you will live." So there's three different occurrences where we look at this. Wiley United Methodist, if you haven't, it's I think it's on our bulletin. It's all over. What's our purpose statement, church? Amen. Amen. Way to go. I didn't even pay any of y'all to remember that. But if you go on the right on the back side of our baptistry here out in the foyer, it's in big, bold, the whole wall that says, Wiley Methodist exists to love God, love people, offer Christ. It's if what we are doing, if what we are about, the different ministries, if we're not accomplishing those things, we're just wasting our time. We're just wasting our time. So I want to ask you this. We can't truly, or I guess I would say this, we can't truly love God and not love people. I mean, Jesus said that. We can't love God if we don't love people. And we can't love people accurately, I mean, perfectly and well, do it well, unless we love God. He said it all fits together. And true love is to offer Christ. I love that moment that is captured in a painting. Kenneth Wyatt painted this painting. It's called "Offer Them Christ," and it's Jesus. I mean, it's John Wesley is coming to the end of his life, and he's sending Thomas Coke to America to start the Methodist Church, and he could have told him all sorts of things. You know, do this, don't do that. You need to organize this way. You need to do it that way. You need to be sure and sing these songs right here. These are the only acceptable. So he didn't say any of that stuff. What did he say? Offer them Christ. So if we really love God and if we really love people, we offer them Christ. I was watching a video just last week in our community group, and it was a man who was raised a Muslim and he had become a Christian. Actually, Cheryl, it was the one on the Jewish guy, wasn't it, that said this. Yeah, and you know where I'm going. We've watched several of them, but this was a Jewish man. And he said, yes, the Bible tells us to honor Israel and to love Israel, and if we bless Israel, we'll be blessed. But what he basically said was, the way you bless Israel is, it's great to send money, it's great to do all these political things, but the way you bless Israel is tell them about Jesus. Jesus. Offer them Christ. So I want to, you know, as we begin this year and as we think about this idea of the year of others, what, you know, us being servants. I wanted to take a look, this is by no means an all-inclusive look, but to take a look at some of the things in the ministry and life of Jesus. You know, have you ever thought about this? Nothing Jesus did or taught was about himself. Nothing he did was self-serving. Everything he did was for you and I. Everything he did was for you and I. It was for the sake of others. So I'm going to give you three things, and this is, again, not an all complete inclusive list, but these are three things that I think we need to take in. that Jesus did. For the sake of others, first of all, for the sake of others, Jesus demonstrated compassion. Jesus demonstrated compassion. I love the passage, and I think it's listed there in your handout, Matthew 8. And what's going on is Jesus is walking around, and he's teaching, and he's healing, and doing all these things. And in Matthew 8, he says, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him, a man with leprosy. Now, leprosy was kind of the, maybe like the AIDS of our day. People, and especially in the early years of the AIDS epidemic, that people didn't know. I mean, if you touched someone with AIDS, would you get it? I mean, people with leprosy, people not only did people want to avoid those with leprosy because it was incurable, but they didn't want to see them. They didn't want to be in the presence, and they certainly didn't want to touch them. A man with leprosy came and knelt before Jesus and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus, and I love this. Jesus didn't just say from a distance, "Be clean." What did he do? He went over and he touched. I'm telling you, the healing was awesome, I'm sure, for this leper. But what was even equally awesome was the touch of the King of Kings. Just the physical touch. How long had it been since anyone physically touched him? How long had it been since perhaps even a family member gave him a hug, shook his hand? But Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Jesus was a man of great compassion. Do we want to be like Jesus? We want to be a people of compassion. Now, there is, there's responsible, especially when dealing with our finances and stuff, I think we need to seek the Holy Spirit when we're supposed to. It's not always loving, just like, "Hey, somebody's, here, they need, here's $20 for the guy holding the sign," or whatever, and maybe the Lord is leading you to do that. Perhaps, so sometimes, compassion is to pray with them. Perhaps compassion is to go run through McDonald's and get them a meal and bring it to them. Perhaps there's all sorts of ways for us to listen to the Holy Spirit to be compassionate. But in this instant, Jesus knew that not only did this man need to be healed, but he needed the touch, the physical touch of the Savior. For the sake of others, Jesus demonstrated compassion. So how are we doing with that, church? That's a rhetorical question. I'm just asking you to reflect on it. How are we doing? Are we a compassionate people, or are we a compassionate church? Secondly, for the sake of others, Jesus served. Jesus served. I know this is a goofy analogy, but I just thought of it. And, my mind is a terrible thing to waste. But Cheryl and I like to watch old reruns of Everybody Loves Raymond. Don't you love that goofy show? And Deborah, if you know the show, Deborah, Raymond's wife, we were watching last night, and she comes in and she says, "I volunteered at the homeless shelter." And he goes, "Good, you've taken care of our family. That's good." And she said, "No, I volunteered you to serve at the hospital." And it's just like, he doesn't want to, it's like, that's not my strength. That's not what I do. I don't do that. It went on to be quite humorous, but that, I just, as I was watching that, I was thinking, how many of us have that attitude? That's what you do. That's not what I do. I mean, I'm not, that's out of my comfort zone to serve. I just don't know what I would say or what I would do. It's like, man, I'm telling you, it's not, if we're followers of Christ, it's not optional. Hello, is this on, Arliss? It's not optional. Jesus set us the example that we're to be servants. I love my favorite example, and it's all throughout Scripture. Again, Jesus never, he didn't do anything for himself, self-serving. He did everything for the sake of others. But in John chapter 13, We read this, I'm just going to read it because it's, I think it's important for us to hear it again. It was just before the Passover feast. This is the last, what we've come to be known as the Last Supper. This is Jesus' last time with his disciples. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. Now listen to this. He now showed them. It was not just telling them that I love you. He now showed them the full extent of his love. Now think about who was still at the table with him. This next verse, verse 2. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Judas is at the table, and you're going to see in just a moment, Jesus knew what Judas was up to. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he knew his own authority, and he knew what the future held, that he was coming, had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Now, I've said this before, but we need to understand that foot washing in Old Testament, New Testament time was for the lowest of the low servants. The privates. You're just coming in. Okay, you're a young servant. You're just learning the ropes. I'm going to put you in charge of foot washing because that's the nastiest job I got. Jesus wraps a towel around his waist and begins to wash their feet, taking on the lowest. So do you see that? He already had humbled himself. He was with God. He humbled himself and became flesh. Where mine is a terrible thing to waste, but I was just thinking, you think Jesus ever got sick? You think he ever got a cold and felt bad? I think he did. I think he did. He was completely man. He was flesh, but he was also completely God. But he experienced everything we experienced. He had days where he didn't feel good. Didn't feel like getting up and doing something. Did you ever think about that? He lowered himself not only to become flesh, but also he lowered himself to become the servant of those he loved. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord, Lord means he's in charge. We surrender to his authority, his lordship. Now that you call me Lord and teacher, now that I have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet if you feel like it. Oh, wait. Does that? Oh, it doesn't. I'm sorry. It doesn't say that, does it? Is he talking about we should run out and see how many physical feet we can wash? Is that what he's talking about? No, he's talking about humble yourself and be a servant. Humble yourself and be a servant. Even when you want to, when you don't want to, when you feel good, when you don't feel good, when you're embarrassed, when you're not embarrassed. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. The year of others. Perhaps 2020 could be the year for others. For the sake of others, Jesus demonstrated compassion and he served. Thirdly, for the sake of others, Jesus forgave. Now we're getting into some, and many of us are going, yeah, I'm pretty compassionate, I serve. But right now, I want you to just close your eyes for just a second. I'm not going to put bunny ears behind you or anything. Who is the face that comes in your mind of the person you need to forgive? Okay, you can open your eyes. I'd wager, if I was a betting man, that we all got a face, maybe several faces, came up in our mind. Now, in Luke 23, we see that Jesus, I know you've thought about this before, but I want it to be fresh to you. Think about this stage that we're at, that Jesus had done nothing wrong. In fact, his whole life, his whole coming to earth, everything had been for the sake of others, and he's just loving and healing and teaching. I mean, he's just doing good stuff, and yet the teachers of the law, of the faith, I mean, these were God's chosen people. They made up stories, and they falsely accused him, and they got him sentenced to be crucified. And his disciples, one of them betrayed him. One of them denied he even knew him. Peter was supposed to be the big dog, the leader. He's like, I don't know the guy. Three times. And all the rest except John, if Scripture is painting an accurate picture for us here, deserted him. In his moment of need, John's the only one that's still hanging around. All the rest of them, I can just see them in the bushes going, wonder what's going on now. So, and then you've got the Romans who carried out this execution. You've got these soldiers who have mocked him, who have beat him, who've put a robe on his bloody back and pulled that off and opened up those swords and put a mocking crown of thorns upon his brow and have nailed him physically. Think about it. Nailed him to a cross. And then they lifted him up. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. So they lifted him up. And I can just see they dig a hole for the cross. And as they lift up and it gets to a certain angle and it just falls in the hole. And you got nails in his hands and his feet. And I'm sure that was not a pleasant experience for our Savior. And so he's hanging on the cross and he's looking down and he's got a handful of people that love him and that wish they could save him, but he's got these Jewish leaders that are mocking him, saying things like, if you're the Messiah, why don't you pray and just come on down from that cross? And you've got these soldiers who literally nailed him to the cross and they're sitting there and they're gambling over his clothes and they're mocking him. And as he's hanging there, he doesn't curse them. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then it says, and they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Man. Now, I don't want to pretend that I'm perfect at this. Or any of these things, by the way. I'm still a work in progress. Are you a work in progress? But I want to tell you that if we want to be Christ-like, if we are followers of Christ, we ought to be all about forgiving. It's easy to love those that love us back. It's easy to love those who are nice to us and say good things about us. That face or faces that came up into your mind. Did you know, and I love this, is another video Cheryl and I watched for our community group. Did you know that Jesus hung on the cross for them? Uh-oh. Is this still on, Artis? It's still on? Did you know Jesus died for them? I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm just telling you because I got some work to do. I got some work to do. I've had this on my computer. Dennis Ryland is Dennis. I know he was sick this week. I'm not sure Dennis made it this morning. But Dennis, wonderful guy, Dennis and Ann Ryland. If you don't know that couple, you're missing a treat. They're wonderful folks. But Dennis's dad, several years ago, and Dennis just turned 80, so this has been a long time ago. His dad, his name was Denzel, and he wrote this poem, and Dennis and Ann have it. I don't know, cross-stitched or something, one of those things, one of those little fancy things on the wall. And he sent this to me a year or so ago, and I ran across it again. I thought, man, as we think about the year of others, listen to this poem that Dennis's dad wrote. Have you made someone happy or made someone sad? What have you done with the day that you had? God gave it to you to do just as you would. Did you do what was wicked or do what was good? Did you hand out a smile or just give them a frown? Did you lift someone up or push someone down? Did you lighten some load or some progress impede? Did you look for a rose or just gather a weed? What did you do with your beautiful day? God gave it to you. Did you throw it away? I think that's a beautiful poem that Dennis's dad wrote. You know, and Teresa was telling the children earlier, you know, we got 365 of these days. We're 12 days in now. But we got the remainder of these. What are we going to do with them? Is this just the year of me, or is it the year of others? And I'll tell you, if we want to make it the year of others, it starts with being the year of the Lord. I love that. You know, you've heard me rant about this before, but our culture, our dating system, our entire calendar system is we are in 2020 AD, which means Anno Domini, I believe is how you pronounce that, the year of our Lord. 2020, the year of our Lord. They want it to be CE, 2020 CE, common error. Even our culture is trying to take God out of the calendar. Well, that hacks me off, and that's one of the faces that comes up in my mind. I have to love anyway. Let me ask you something. What kind of year will 2020 be if we, as followers of Christ, demonstrate compassion, if we serve, and if we forgive? I think it'd be an awesome year. And the benefit is not just for what we do for others, but we are blessed. When we serve, when we show compassion, when we forgive, we're blessed. It's not just for others. Let's bow your heads with me if you would. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for setting us the example of how to be a people of compassion and how to serve and how to forgive. Father, we confess that sometimes our flesh gets in the way, and sometimes we're not very good at it. But we want to be better. We want to be more like you. Help us to take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on you and our neighbor. We love you. We thank you that you loved us first and you love us most. You love us completely. While we were yet sinners, you died for us, Jesus. And as we say in the liturgy, that proves God's love toward us. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.